painted green, aha, me boys. Lukey's boat is painted green, the prettiest boat you ever seen, aha, maha, me riddle I day.
Ah, Lukey's boat got a fine for cuddy, aha, me boys. Lukey's boat got a fine for cuddy, and every seam is chinked with putty, aha, me boys, riddle I day.
Oh, Lukey's boat got high top sails, aha, me boys. Lukey's boat got high top sails, she was planked with copper nails, aha, aha, me riddle I day. I think, says Lukey, I'll make...
Welcome to this month's edition of Our Working Waterfront with yours truly, Chris Bricker, along with my co-hosts, Port of Port Townsend's director, Aaron Berg, and Port Commissioner Pam Petronic. It's our monthly update on news, issues, and people that surround our vibrant maritime community. As is our custom, let's check in with Aaron for news of the past month at the port.
Well, there's always a lot going on, as you know, from every report I give here at the port. You know, the commission's wrapping up its business for the year with one final meeting next week. On the agenda will be a brief update on the potential of the port acquiring the Shorts family farm in Chimicum. The Shorts farm is a 253-acre farm, one of the largest agricultural inholdings in Jefferson County, and the port's very interested in engaging with the community, and in particular with the ag community, to see, you know, if this makes sense and what the port can do to be supportive of the ag economy in Jefferson County and of resiliency, in particular growing food right here at home. The Point Hudson Jetty project continues to go very well, and I encourage people who are interested to go down and peer through the fence. Pile driving is complete, and the contractor's now finished setting bedding stone and is moving on to armor stone, which are these giant, maybe they call them five-man rocks, that are going in to the center of the structure. So look forward to that getting completed here in the coming months.
When you say five-man rocks, you mean it takes 5 men to lift them?
Oh, you know, that's funny that you ask that. It's kind of a term of art. One man, two man, three man on up rocks. And my understanding from when I was younger and used to buy rocks to do some landscaping for fun is that a two-man rock is two grown men with crowbars can move it.
Uh-huh.
So a five-man rock means you need a big excavator to move it. So yeah, I don't think 5 people are moving that regardless of their strength.
I didn't think so. Is the rock inspector still around?
Yeah, we've got the rock inspection team on duty. Yesterday I visited the project site. We had 3 engineers out there, you know, keeping an eye on everything along with our environmental compliance team. So this is really important for us to get this project right, you know, not just for how it's done, but for how it will last into the future.
Yeah, that's a big consideration, and I'm just really grateful for all of the thought and care that's gone into this.
And we're optimistic that, you know, project timing is going to work. So next year, I know there'd been some fear that we might have to start the project pre-wooden boat. It's not looking like that's likely. It looks like we're going to be able to start after Wooden Boat Festival and proceed much like this year, although certainly probably a little longer into the fish window, you know, February, March, as it's a bigger structure and the pilings go into deeper water. That's a lot of what's going on. And, you know, we've got a few closures coming up for the holidays at the port. And maybe the last kind of fun tidbit is for people who want to cruise the Boat Haven Marina. We've encouraged our boat owners to light up their boats with holiday lights this year. Just bring a little joy to the marina. And they're posting pictures on our Facebook page. So come on down for some pretty lights. And I certainly want to wish everybody a happy holiday season.
To you as well, and your whole team. We just sure appreciate you. I'd seen a few lights. I was down at the marina yesterday evening, as a matter of fact, and the lights are starting to peek out.
Hopefully that'll be fun for folks to see.
It's worth a walk in the boatyard, friends.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Catch you next time. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're on a dock today here in Boat Haven, warm and toasty aboard Lacey with Damon Detweiler. He's 23 years old, and he moved here from Aspen, Colorado, to attend the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building. It's obvious he's been captivated by boats in the sea. Damon Detweiler, welcome to our Working Waterfront.
Well, thank you for having me.
How did it all begin? Because, you know, a child's imagination is a wonderful thing. What did you dream about when you were a kid?
I dreamed about all sorts of things. Most of those memories have faded away and I don't remember them particularly clearly, but I was always interested in the water and I always had toy boats as a kid. I had the opportunity to go to a high school that had an excellent woodshop program. During that program, we were allowed to build whatever we wanted. So come sophomore year, I decided I wanted to build a boat. So I built a little 7-foot flat bottom skiff. Never saw the water. I was working off of some scratched out plans on a single sheet of paper that didn't really mean too much. I had, I had the right shape, but that was about all I had. You know, it looked like a boat, but never floated.
Remember, this is Colorado, folks. I mean, there are lakes, but there are no oceans in Colorado.
No, there are no oceans. Anyway, the following year, I decided to build another boat, which was significantly better. That one did see the water. That one, I built a little inboard runabout type boat that was about 6 feet long. I went down to the big box store and bought a little gas-powered weed eater and modified that a little bit with a propeller and whatnot and strapped it into the boat. So I had a little 6-foot motorized boat. It was about the slowest thing ever, but it worked. And I had a little steering wheel and a little throttle control on it. I could drive it around. Then I finished that boat around spring break. So with the rest of the year, I started a third boat. That third boat was very similar to the second boat, but it was plywood. It was the first one that I had built out of plywood. That one I actually still have in my parents' garage back in Colorado. That one I bought a 2-horse outboard from a neighbor down the street, which is currently on my other boat, minus the gas tank.
Did your dad or your family work with wood? Did they have any influence on you?
Other than being supportive of me doing whatever I wanted to do, not particularly. My mom grew up on a farm in Michigan, so she's always been very mechanical and good at fixing things and building stuff like that. I think I got a lot of that from her.
So on your third boat, did that one make it to the water?
It did. Third boat made it to the water. I was proud of the third boat. Not only did it work, but I thought it turned out really nice. At some point between the second and third boat, one day in my shop class, there was a substitute teacher who saw that I was building a little wooden boat. And this was around the time in junior year when they were having us start to look into colleges. I had been looking at some 2-year mechanical engineering programs at a handful of smaller schools. I figured, I guess I'll do this, but I wasn't super into it. And then that day, that substitute teacher said, you should look at wooden boat building schools. After shop class, I hopped on my laptop in my next class and just internet search and came up with this one. And that day I went, I'm going there.
So, Damien, did you ever talk to that shop teacher again? Did he or she follow up?
No, I never did follow up with that substitute teacher. However, I did have the school resource officer with the local police department used to work at Brooklyn Boatyard. So he would stop by almost every morning to see how the progress was going on the boats. And we would stop and talk boats for a little bit, and then he would go on his way. But the school that I found was the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building. And that morning, I stopped looking. Months later, when it came time to actually apply, well, actually going on a year after that, I looked at a few others, but at that point, I had already made up my mind that this was the only one I wanted to go to.
What did you think of going into it? And then what are some of the things that maybe changed or broadened along the way?
I initially applied to and attended the traditional wooden boat building program, which was a year long. And as for housing, while I was in that class, I bought a 1955 Correct Craft cabin cruiser, 34 feet, to live on here in the port. Being a wood boat, I was able to apply some woodworking to that, and I started fixing it up before giving up on that project to move on to this project. But while I was starting the wooden boat program, that boat needed a full electrical rewire. It was not good. So that summer before, I read through the ABYC standards on marine electrical. 70 whatever pages of standards and then hopped to it and rewired it. When I initially applied to the school, I didn't know about the Marine Systems program because the first Marine Systems class started at the same time I started boat building. During boat building, I was rewiring my other boat, and I decided that as soon as boat building was done, I was going to take the Marine Systems class as well, which I did. Came back and did another 6 months of Marine Systems and learned a lot more about marine electrical as well as corrosion there. There were other things, but those were the categories that I was most interested in.
Damien, we're in the boat here and we're looking around and you have, I can see all the wiring exposed because you're in the process of finishing this boat off, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. And can you describe this boat for us? And it's a beautiful yellow with the red letters Lacy. Where did Lacy come from and why did you choose this style of boat?
So this boat, the hull was built by the boat school and it was started years before I was there and then ended up shrink wrapped in the parking lot. While I was a student there, we brought it out of the parking lot back into the shop to practice planking on it. It was the only boat with this type of planking, Carvel planking, the group that I was in could get our hands on. The other boat that was being built was Lapstrake, and then the Carvel boat that we were working on was fully planked.
Can you tell us the difference between Lapstrake and Carvel?
Lapstrake planking, the edges of the planks overlap each other, whereas Carvel planking, the edges are next to each other with cotton between the seams to keep the water out.
This project, all of it takes a lot of focus. And I'm wondering how you balance, because you're working for the shipwrights co-op now, but you're also working on this boat. Mm-hmm. Where's your social life?
There's some social life. I've been slowing down on the boat more, I suppose, starting around the beginning of the summer. I've been slowing down work on it a little bit to go, you know, be around friends and do stuff like that.
You're blushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're working full-time for the Shipwrights Co-op. You're building a boat full-time. You just went through the boat school. Yeah. So not only are you learning a lot in your new place of employment, you're learning how to figure this whole new project out. Yeah. Plus, you've got your other boat still.
I do.
And you're only 23, so you have a lot going on.
Yeah.
How do you keep that focus and that passion going? Do you ever wish things were different, or are you just like on this incredible roll?
I suppose it's just comes naturally. So I finished boat school right before everything shut down and then started working at the co-op. So that summer, this boat was still at the boat school. So I did some smaller bench type projects on my other boat, getting ready to bring it here to the yard and do work on it there. But for the first year of working on it, people weren't really wanting to be social anyway. So as I'd finish work and then I would come and keep working.
Describe your other boat.
The other boat was a lovely boat once upon a time, but it's a production boat and it was neglected for some period of its life. So it's in not the best of shape. You know, it's a big, beamy 1950s cruise around the bay on a sunny day boat.
Talking about cruising around the bay on a sunny day, what kind of plans do you have for this boat when you finish it off?
I plan to take it to Alaska, both for fun and I would like to go commercially troll in Alaska for salmon. I'm working on designing the trolling rig currently, actually. The other major trip that I have planned is the Great Loop, which is about 6,000 miles. It's the inland rivers of the U.S., the intercoastal waterway, and then the canals into the Great Lakes. You know, it's a big loop around and fairly popular trip.
What would be a time frame that you could imagine for doing that?
Probably within the next few years, I'll leave on one of those two trips. The Alaska trips would be a few months in the summer. The Great Loop, I would probably shoot for around 9 months to get around. It's about 6 months of travel days. So that gives another third to sightseeing and being a tourist.
Back to your current employment working for the Shipwrights Co-op. Yeah. Tell us again how long you have been there and also how You have been supported as a graduate from the Northwest School of Wooden Boats, as well as young and establishing yourself within this business that has been around for decades and is expanding and will be there for many, many generations.
It's been a really wonderful place to work. I really enjoy being there. It's a great group of people to be with. I've been there a little bit over 2.5 years now. You know, I came in straight out of boat school. I was hired on as, I was either going to be primarily an electrician or a mechanic. I ended up being the electrician. I was hired with a fellow student from my class. He went more the mechanical route and I went more the electrical route, although we did cross over there. That's one thing that's so wonderful about working there is if you have the skills, you get to do everything. It's, you know, one day I could be wiring a boat, the next day I could be plumbing, the next day I could be welding stainless rails. The Shipwrights Co-op, they really appreciate people who can do many different things within the profession. You can see a project all the way through if you can do all the different aspects of it. To me, it seems like it makes it a lot more efficient. One thing in particular that I've gotten out of working there that's been really great is, let's see, about a year and a half ago, I wanted to learn to weld. So I talked to a few of them about it, and I was like, so I'm interested in this, and what would you recommend? And one of the welders that works there sat down with me a couple of times and gave me some pointers, and then I came in early and stayed late and, you know, took part of my lunch break and just practiced away until I could do it. I wanted to learn just to learn, but I also wanted to learn for some projects that I needed to do for myself on this boat. One of the first big ones was the floor timbers underneath the engine. Because of the way the engine's installed in this boat, the original wooden floor timbers, they were black locust. I would have had to cut so much away that it would have lost all the structure to them. So I decided to replace 7 floor timbers under the engine with silicon bronze plate. So I cut out all the pieces that I needed. Each one was between 4 and 6 pieces of metal. And then I bent the ones that needed bending and ground it all to fit. And then welded all of the flat plates together to make these structural members that sit under the engine.
Well, it's a true apprenticeship, isn't it?
It is.
And it's an apprenticeship not only to the icons that work at the Shipwrights Co-op, of which there are many.
There are many.
But also just the whole idea of learning not only what they have to offer in the trades, but also the wisdom that they have. Are there any particular life lessons that you've learned along the way? All the way from the time that you first decided to build a boat until now. And you're 23, I get that.
Whenever I think back on the route that I've ended up taking, I'm always completely satisfied with it. It was the right way to go for me. I didn't follow the traditional after high school path necessarily, but I'm very happy with the path that I did take.
Damian Detweiler aboard the Lacey, this beautiful little boat here, and just all cozy right here in the cabin. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Our Working Waterfront.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Damian. It's been such a pleasure being on your boat, and you're one of the first 3 boats in the harbor with Christmas lights.
Yeah.
So, beautiful boat inside and out.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
He's coming round the bill, he spied his true love on the hill. Uh-huh, me boys are in lie day. Lukey's coming round the cape, uh-huh, me boys. Lukey's coming round the cape, he spied old Jenny on the flake. Uh-huh, me boys are in lie day.
Uh-huh, says Lukey, the blinds are down, uh-huh, me boys. Uh-huh, says Lukey, the blinds are down, me wife is dead and she's underground. Uh-huh, me boys are in lie day.
Aha, said Lukey, I don't care. Aha, me boys. Aha, says Lukey, I don't care. I'll get me another in the spring of the year. Aha, aha, me in lie day.
Oh, Lukey's boat is painted green. Aha, me boys. Oh, Lukey's boat is painted green. The prettiest boat you ever seen. Aha, aha, me in lie day.
Our theme music for the show is Lukey's Boat, and it's performed by Mark Hiscock, Patrick Moran, Chris Andrews, and Mike Kinsella. See you next time on Our Working Waterfront.